Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The text is Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning at the 44th verse, and I will read it as we go. I think I read somewhere once that Luther said, "We can't keep going back to the cross." I haven't been able to find a reference for that, so take it with a grain of salt. But I have thought about that idea. And while I should mention that while I'm never going to get a tattoo, if I did, it would say in big, bold letters, "I am determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified." But that idea of not going back to the cross again and again caught my attention. What could it mean? Let me offer a thought. Sometimes I think of the work of God in history with mankind as being rather like, the shape of an hourglass. Two large chambers coming together in this narrow tube. But let's lay that on the side and look at it that way. From the beginning, from creation and the fall, and then there's all this stuff that happens. Noah, the flood, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, the Exodus from Egypt, King David, the Babylonian captivity. I could go on and on, but it all had a single purpose. Jesus put it this way. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That narrow neck, that part between is the time that Jesus walked the earth. That's the time he became one of us. That's the time the dust he created covered his feet. That's the time the sweat of the curse streamed down his brow. That's the time tears of sorrow flowed from his eyes. Everything that had gone before came down to one point, the cross. Just as Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer." That's the pivot point, the very center of history. That's the event upon which our salvation rests. Jesus suffered, bled, and died so that you could be with him forever. So that makes it clear, the crucifixion was not the end for us who believe. Not by any means. Because death could not hold the Son of God, he would, on the third day, rise from the dead. Jesus had conquered death once and for all. And if that sounds a little too generic, he conquered death for you. And for me, and for all who believe. That day that the sky went dark for 3 hours was the culmination of everything that went before. All the prophecy, everything in the Psalms, the satisfaction of the law. It was the beginning of your salvation. Jesus suffered, bled, and died that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. It's taken a little while for that proclamation to make it all the way to Westminster. But even that was certain. You have a Father who loves you relentlessly. And I do mean you, each and every one of you. For even with all our flaws, even with the scars that sin has gnawing at us, even with all the baggage, he wants to see you face to face. He wants the glory of his shining face, a glory so pure, so bright, that it would kill you if you saw it right now, to fall on you and bring you unspeakable joy. This is all the more amazing because God actually knows you, really knows you. And still, Jesus was willing to die for you. Sin has done everything in its power to claim you. We have all suffered its blows. We have all listened to Satan's lies. We have all fallen short of God's demands. Listen now to the proclamation of God, the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. The cross was the culmination of everything that went before. It is also the beginning. Death has lost its sting, and the victor, our victor, took his rightful place in glory. We get a glimpse of that glory in what happened next. Jesus said, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." That promise is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who we receive in our baptism. Jesus did not leave us alone. We have his word. We have him in the physical means of the sacraments. We have his spirit. God is faithful. He will never leave you alone. He is with you and in his body, the church, now and forever. That day, Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. There, he intercedes for us before the Father. He is our high priest. He is our advocate. I can't imagine what was going on in the minds and the hearts of the people who watched Jesus being taken up. They certainly were filled with joy. Luke wrote, "They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God." But I'm sure they were not looking back at the cross at that moment. We must never forget the cross, nor are we to stay at the foot of the cross with our eyes fixed there. Jesus endured that horror so that we won't have to endure the death and eternal suffering that we deserve. He said, "It is finished." So, just as those gathered that day to watch Jesus return to his Father, our eyes are on the risen Christ. He is risen indeed. Amen. So we wait, not with empty hearts, but with great joy, not sitting on our hands, but as Paul wrote, we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. In that shape of history we talked about earlier, the church grows until the end of time, until we finally see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit face to face in all their glory. Maybe it's wrong to think of that as being closed, for it does not end. It knows no limit. The future is big enough for all those who repent and turn to God. Amen.